today on Real Radio.
Human government fails, people groan. What's the answer? What's the answer? People are asking. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Yes. Right? And listen, it's amazing because here's the answer. When the righteous is empowered, the people rejoice. That is the characteristic of his sovereign reign. Joyously. This is good news for us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called You Need to Know with a message called All About the Future Things, Part 6. God loves us, and it's his desire that we know what will happen in the future, not to scare us, but to prepare us for the amazing times that await every true believer in Jesus Christ. Our God has given us the most incredible book known to man, the Bible. When God began to speak to us, he often did so by foretelling the future. The Bible is unique from all other books in that it can boast of prophecies that have already been fulfilled and those that will come true as we head into future prophetic end time events. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we're in a unique time in history when the Church of Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel exist at the same time. Israel, as a nation, is in and of itself a prophetic sign when Israel will see the Messiah for the second time and when Christ, in his mercy, will rescue his people from judgment. And now in his message called All About the Future Things, Part 6, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And the historical evidence for Israel's existence is truly awesome, off the charts. For example, listen to this. Mark it down. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25. When you beget children, says God to them, and grandchildren, and have grown old in the land, and act corruptly, and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger. Verse 26, I will call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, says God. He's speaking to Israel, that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. Verse 27, the Lord will scatter you among the nations, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. Did that happen?
Yes.
Yes, it has. Jeremiah 31:10 tells us, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. I'll scatter you for your disobedience, but there's going to be a time coming when I'll bring you back into your land. And by proximity, you and I run the danger of not appreciating the moment you're sitting in right now. Israel is back in the land. Listen to this. I'll read this to you. I don't think you have it, but it's in Romans 11:25. Paul was speaking doctrine, but it was a revelation about you being blessed, me being blessed as Gentiles. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, so that you may not be conceited or puffed up. Israel has experienced a hardening of heart in part, until the full number of the Gentiles, that is in the world, is received. Isn't that amazing to think God's got a number of Gentiles? He knows. Isn't that weird to think? God's got a number of the Gentile world that he knows is the number of the church. It's weird, huh? I'd like to know what the meter is saying right now. Could you imagine if we're like 10 people away? Would that like cause you to go out and start witnessing to stopping cars? Stop! Because, you know, the moment the last person accepts the Lord, we be out of here, you know? So it's the Bible says there, so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godliness away from Jacob, another name for Israel, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Romans 11, verse 25 to 26. God says this to the nation. Zechariah, mark this down. Zechariah 14, verse 4. He must reveal himself to Israel. That's what commences the millennium. Zechariah 14, 4. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. Sure is. And the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west. I want to see that. Zechariah 13, 6. In that day, one will say to him, what are these wounds? The word in Hebrew, by the way, is nakah. It means to be slapped, beaten, torn open, to be killed. It means to be, you would use the word in Hebrew to beat somebody to death. Even though Jesus was crucified, we know that he was severely beaten, right? Most would have died from the beating. That's why Isaiah 53 tells us that when the Messiah was on the cross, you couldn't recognize him. He is marred. The word is marred more than any man. The Bible says that Jesus, when you saw him, the Bible prophesied that he would be so mutilated you couldn't figure out if it was a male or a man or an animal or a blob. We have this cute kind of a scar here and a little bit of blood on his forehead picture of Jesus, you know. Even the Passion of the Christ movie was thought to be too graphic. That was nothing. It's as though Jesus' body was put in a blender and then reassembled in human form and hung on the cross. Horrific. And they're going to say to him, where did you receive these wounds? In your arms or in your hands, on your body. And then he will answer them and say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. That's what Jesus is going to say to the nation when he returns. Zechariah 12:10. Then they will look upon me whom they have pierced, crucified. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. You see that, you guys? That's coming. When Christ returns, Israel will see him as he is. Joel 3:16. Joel chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Church, listen. Fact or fiction? Real, literal, or typological? Is this really going to happen? Oh, it's going to happen. He's going to roar from Zion. His voice is going to be uttered from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake. The Lord will be as shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Canada. No, what's it say? Israel. You've got to have an Israel before he returns. How close are we to his coming? Secondly, he's going to reveal himself to the nations of the world. When Christ returns, he will reveal himself to Israel and the nations of the world. And that second coming, when that occurs, Jesus will rescue Israel and he'll judge the nations. I mentioned this to you before. Some of you asked where that was. It will take 75 days. The Bible says 75 days the Messiah will judge the nations of the world while he sits upon the throne in the establishment of his kingdom. In other words, he cleans house. He arranges the furniture. What do these people call it, these decorators now? Staging. Stage. I'd like to have my house staged. Well, so will God. He's going to come back and he's going to say, I'm going to stage the earth right now. It's going to take him 75 days. Book of Daniel chapter 12 tells you that. 75 days, he will be fulfilling Matthew chapter 25, separating, as it were, the sheep from the goats as he gathers the nations. Some will live into the kingdom, and some will be taken into judgment. What's the judgment criteria of the nations? How they treated his brethren. This is that famous passage in Matthew 25 when it says, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. Remember that? I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. We should all do those things to everybody who's in need. But the true theological application is Jesus is challenging the nations. When my brethren in the earth, he's talking about the Jews, when they were dispersed, when they were cast out, when they were hiding. Remember Dennis Prager stood here that night, if you were here? He was so moved. By the way, you guys had a major effect on his life. I'm telling you, I just got a note from him the other day. He loves you guys. And he said, remember when he stood here, and he doesn't do this very often. He's a Jew. He's not yet born anew, but we're working on him, right? But he knows the word. But with tears in his eyes, he said, you know, I feel like I'm with a group of people. And only, he said, only Jews know this code language. But I think you'll get it, he said. I feel like I'm with a group of people who will hide me. Who will hide me. Like Hitler's days. Jesus said, I'm going to judge the nations, and I'm going to separate those who would have hidden me, because if they would, they've done that to my brethren during this time. Those who were kind to Israel live into the kingdom age. Those who were not go to judgment, Luke chapter 17 says, beginning at verse 33. That's not on the screens. It just fell out of my head. You can read that later. He's going to judge the nations. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with clouds. This is the second coming, not the rapture, second coming. Every eye will see him. Not a few, not a select group, not just the church. Every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him. And all the tribes, that's nations of the earth, will mourn because of him. Not a happy day. Even so, amen. Listen to this. In case you don't know who he's talking about, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Every one of those titles of Jesus are found in the Old Testament. They're all, every one of them is a description of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every one of those. The I am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is to come, the Almighty. Think of that. He's coming to the nations. Joel chapter 2, verse 31 tells us what that day will be like. Now, I'm probably going to upset some people here, but I'm sorry, doctrine is the big deal. What? Are you ready?
Yes.
Joel 2, 31 says, then shall the sun be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's the second coming. I know a lot of sweet people running around about the blood moon thing. You show me in the Bible where there's four blood moons mentioned in the Bible. You can't. The Bible says at the end of the tribulation period, the sun will not shine and the moon will look like blood. Not moons, moon. At the same time, listen, the sun cannot shine its light. It won't be able to shine its light and the moon will be as blood. So when we talk about these atmospheric appearances, God is exact. He's not kind of around, sort of. He's exact. And when he says the moon, he's talking about a moon. And at the exact same time, when that moon at the end of the tribulation period looks like blood, the same day, the sun cannot shine. The sun will not shine. You got that? You get that, everybody?
Yes.
So I'm going to get all kinds of hate mail because I have friends who've written books on this topic and I love these guys, but it's like timing's a little off. You won't have to guess if it's judgment. Yeah, the world will know. The world will know. And it's a singular event, mind you. That was a little rabbit trail there for you. Matthew 25, verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Student of the Bible market. He's coming to sit on his throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but on the goats on his left. Then the king, you will not be in this judgment, ladies and gentlemen. The church will have no part of this. Then he will say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. That's the millennium. Verse 41, skip down to verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's Jesus' judgment of the nations. Third and final argument is this. Jesus, the Son of God, the Jesus of the Bible, gloriously, will you mark that down? Gloriously reveals his authority or sovereignty from heaven. Gloriously rules forever. He's going to gloriously rule forever. And I wanted to put, I got to tell you, in my notes earlier writing this out, and it was early this morning when I wound up saying, nah, I don't know, because I had the word sovereignly rules forever, and that's kind of redundant, is it not? Sovereignly rules forever. And then I started looking up the characteristics of the rule of Jesus Christ, and I found something very exciting. Are you with me? Track this. You've heard this verse 1,000 times here, but it came up again in my study. And this is kind of cool. And you know this. Proverbs 29, I think it's 29 verse 2, says that when the wicked are in power, the people groan. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Listen, the literal fulfillment of that, you are not only living it right now, and I'm not talking about the Obama administration, I'm not talking about the Brown administration, Jerry Brown. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about human government, period, all of it. You can put the Brown in with the Obama and the everything into the big pot of human government in the earth. And listen, the world is groaning. if there's any Greeks listening right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Greece is upside down, inside out, messed up. Human government fails, people groan. What's the answer? What's the answer? People are asking, thy kingdom come, Lord. Yes. Right? And listen, it's amazing because here's the answer. When the righteous is empowered, the people rejoice. That is the characteristic of his sovereign reign. Joyously. This is good news for us. Amen. Why? Because listen, for that 1,000-year reign, joy will fill the earth. You know what joy is, you guys? You know what it is? Joy is not happiness. Joy is winning the lotto, man. I mean, it's going down to Vegas and winning the big prize. No, it's not. You think that's joy? No, the IRS thinks that's joy. That's not winning. Happiness is, how are things going? Yesterday was a perfect day. Did you feel the temperature? Breeze, clouds. I was happy. It was a nice day. Your happiness and my happiness is rigged to happenstance. That's where it comes from. Whatever's happening, if it's good, I'm happy. If whatever's happening is not good, I'm not happy. That's why happiness goes like this. That's okay. It's supposed to. Happiness is like a roller coaster. It's all right. Joy is like this. Joy is just like this. Bombs going off. Perfect, beautiful day. Starving to death. Feasting. ISIS. Whatever. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you understand that? That's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. It's not like this. Oh, you know, roller coaster, white knuckle. Nope. Joy, the joy of the Lord is like this. When Christ comes to rule, there's going to be joy in the earth, the Bible says. Joyously. And that's a wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing. And I want you to think about that for a moment. I want to give you this thought. When you look up the word sovereign, by the way, or sovereignty, the synonyms for sovereignty, we don't often think of this. It's interesting, at least for Hebrew language. Freely, well, we get that, sovereign, freely. Independently, exclusively, sovereign or sovereignly, alone, originally. But listen, there's the word joy. The biblical sovereignty of God is joy. It's a kingdom of joy. Does that kind of freak you out for a moment? Think about, I want you to just think for a moment. The 1,000-year reign of Christ, you and I will be ruling and reigning with Christ. There'll be people on earth, the Bible says, I told you this last time, remember, when a man dies at what age? 100, he'll be as though a child or a baby dies. Longevity begins to return to the earth like in the days of Adam. But this is different than you and I. You and I will be ruling with Christ. We're not going to be subject to our mortal bodies. And he and his rule, his sovereignty, will be the joy of the whole earth, says the Bible. Animals are going to rejoice. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Romans, animals are groaning right now, waiting for our redemption. Did you know that? Everything that you and I need, this is touchy, listen. Everything that you and I need is in Jesus. I'll explain this in closing. I'll go so far to say this carefully. Everything you and I want is actually in Jesus. You say, what? Want? What I mean by that is this. It's human nature to want to be accepted, for example. It's human nature to want to be loved. It's human nature to love. Did you know it's human nature to communicate? The only reason why you today may not want to communicate is because you've had a twisted upbringing, like the rest of us. Don't look at me like that. We've all come from dysfunctional homes. But God made you a social creature. Why? God is social. Is that something? He communicated to us the gospel. We would have been walking this globe dumb, blind, deaf. And he intervened. He came down to talk with us. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is the Word of God? The word is logos. Jesus Christ is the communication of God. That's why the book of Revelation is the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Now listen, I want you to meditate as we begin to land this airplane here. He will rule with righteousness and it will be joyous. He will decree the right decisions that need to be made in the earth. Does that warm your heart? Oh, it does me too. He will rule with authority. The age we're living in right now, this you guys get this, what I'm about to say. It's third service that doesn't get it. Well, because there's a lot of young people and they don't like what I'm about to say. But you see, this, he will rule in authority. The young generation hates that word. The millennials despise this word authority. And they despise authority. When Christ comes, he's going to rule in authority, and it is awesome, and it's joyous. The human nature is to throw it off. That's a dangerous thing. He'll rule in righteousness. He'll rule in authority. The Bible tells us that he's going to rule by love. Human nature and human government and human rule never mix well. They never have. That's the history of man. Unless, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're sitting in a 239-year-old experiment. It was called an experiment then. It's called an experiment now. Why? And again, this is what is meant by American exceptionalism. It doesn't mean that Americans, they're arrogant or that people. It means that we live in something that is unique in all of the earth's history. Well, this nation's messed up. Of course it's messed up. Whenever humans are involved, it's going to be messed up. Okay? Get over it. Here's the deal. It's the closest thing the world has ever seen to a good government.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a message called All About the Future Things, Part 6. Thanks for being here today, and take heart. The Lord will not let what you've lost in the past be the best thing you'll ever have in the future. All About the Future Things, Part 6, is part of Pastor Jack's series called You Need to Know. It's a series that reveals the accuracy of the Bible and what the future holds for the follower of Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of us are already friends with Pastor Jack on Facebook, but what you may not know is that Pastor Jack has a monthly Facebook Live event, and it's called Happening Now. Happening Now is designed to put end times prophecy into perspective and how it relates to what's going on in our world today. You don't have to be a member of Facebook to join in, and there's also a time for Q&A for those watching. Pastor Jack is often joined by special guests that are experts in Bible prophecy, including Amir Sarfati and Don Stewart. You can look for the next Happening Now event at our website, jackhibbs.com, or watch, if you'd like, previous episodes on YouTube. Visit jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.